Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Colm O'Mungain sitting here in for Claire. Well, last night, I'm sure you know by now, the women's football team scored a victory in Talla, beating Zambia 3-2. It's an exciting time for the team because in a short few weeks' time, on July 20th, the Women's Football World Cup kicks off in Australia and New Zealand, with the first ever women's Irish team setting off in the hope of claiming football glory there. But as everyone involved nervously awaits the announcement of the final squad that will travel, how are families here at home feeling about this massive adventure for their loved ones? Evelyn O'Rourke has been out meeting some of the families hoping to line out with the green jersey. Evelyn, a few weeks ago on the show you were talking to the young emerging girls who play football now and how they're inspired by the current Irish squad.
Yeah, the energy was great, Colin. We heard from so many girls and we know that thousands of them, of young girls, are playing football across the country now, and how the success of this team has encouraged them to keep playing throughout their teenage years, which is great. And so many of them told me that time that the team, the success they're having, has proven to them that they can now dream of playing professionally and having a great career in sport. And it's part of this phenomenal growth in the FAI women's football over the last decade, really, with over 525 clubs now offering women and girls football teams in Ireland. And this matters because when you look at the bios of the current team, so often you'll see that they played with boys until they were 12 or 13. So it's great to see that in a decade, even, that change. And when I met those girls, they said, you know, they knew all the names, Amber Barrett, all the names tripped off, and they are thrilled to be able to play with all the girls in training academy teams from a young age, which matters.
All right, so having heard from the younger players, it was time to talk to the parents, the people who've watched from the sidelines as those 12 and 13 year olds mixed it with the lads and eventually found success, and to find out, you were finding out from them what it's like watching their daughters flourish as footballers. You started in Blessington FC, the home club of one of the key members, Louise Quinn.
That's right, they're so proud of their player there, Cullum, that they had a really special event a few weeks ago where they've now a mural of Louise's face at the front wall of the club. And again, when I was there I was told that Louise played with boys when she first started, age 7 and 8, and she played the boys team until 12, when you weren't allowed to anymore, and then she moved on, and she's had a wonderful career for years now, and she currently plays for Birmingham City. But her parents say to me that everyone around them was noting her skill, and that they knew from a young age that she was really controlled on the ball and that she was beating lots of the young lads around her. So here I met Louise's mum and dad, Jacinta and Pat, on the sidelines of Blessington FC, and they tell me how her footballing career started.
She'd stand on the back of the couch when she was about 2, I'd say, and she was able to jump off the back of the couch and land on the ground standing. You just saw a bit of athleticism in it.
Okay, you played GA.
I did. Wicklow. Always had a football too, you know. And we used to do soccer in the summer.
So bring me back to Louise then. When did soccer start for her then?
I suppose in the schoolyard. Like, one of the teachers who's retired, like, was saying to us, they used to do the teams and Louise was picked first.
For everything.
For everything.
Is she 6 foot?
She is, yeah. She's a sister who's 6 foot as well.
Okay, so we have this young child jumping off the back of the couch, etc., right? But at what stage did it begin to emerge that there was extra talent here?
She met Del.
That's Derek. So she met him and they were playing together.
Yeah, Derek's place. They have a green. All the kids would gather there. And
what
play.
Age are we talking about here?
Under 6. 5.
Junior infants, like.
Junior infants, yeah.
We used to be out in the garden, herself and myself. I'd be throwing the ball at her or kicking it to her and straight into it, you know.
So you'd hardly get her home and she'd, you know, scuff the food and she was gone, like, all her time down in Derek's place.
But specifically soccer at this point.
Oh, yeah.
By that young age of soccer.
Yeah, yeah. And they were little and they were playing under 6s and playing under 8s, under 12s. They were the cutest. You know, you see them around the field, you know, watching them buzzing around and loving it.
It was mainly boys. There was only one or two other girls, I think. It didn't actually faze her at all.
And you weren't worried about her? She was well able?
Oh, gee, no.
The only thing you heard now and again was the parents. Is that a boy with his hair tied back? That kind of comment. And then, you know, they'd see her.
Take the ball off their son.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
She went up as far as under 13, I think, yeah. Yeah, here in Blessington. And the rule was you had to finish at that stage with the boys' team. So
she went to Lakeside, which was a girls' club. Then after that, 13-14, Piemont asked her would she play for them.
A fella who was over the women's setup in Piemont came up one evening and said, we'd like to have your daughter with us, you know.
Her first proper signing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And she made millions on it.
As did you.
Like Louise Quinn, 6 foot, literally head and shoulders above her peers there. She was pretty focused on establishing a professional career. What did her parents think about that?
They just said that she's always been very calm about her talent, that she knew she had this ability. She went to UCD to study, but was very clear in her wish to play professionally. And she's now aged 32. She's had amazing success. And she's now, as we were saying, a key player of that really competitive, really Birmingham City squad. But they've just really enjoyed watching her thrive on the pitch. And that's the same thing I had with so many of these conversations, is the joy for the families of watching these women flourish, you know. So here, Jacinta and Pat, tell me a little bit more about their talented daughter.
She was captain of the Irish international under 17s and 19s.
Was being a professional footballer an option at that time?
There were kind of traces of it, like you knew it was going on somewhere else.
Yeah.
And she knew it was going on somewhere else, and one of her teammates in the senior Irish team was saying, you should go away, like, and get the experience and go to a professional team. So she did. She went to Stockholm, small place, Eskilstuna, about an hour outside Stockholm. She was there for 4 years.
Yeah, then the UK, I mean, these are big clubs. You know, when you look back at the list, it's Arsenal, it's in Birmingham. She's in Birmingham now.
Yeah.
And do you just get phone calls, like, announcing things, or does she spend hours on the phone analysing it, or do you just get the latest address?
No, she makes up her own mind. And I suppose when you love something, nothing else figures, and sure, we weren't going to stop her. She's well able, like.
And what does playing for Ireland mean to her?
Everything.
Really? Yeah. Still?
Yeah. Oh, still.
And she's played there since she was 14, and it was her ambition to get there. So when she gets there, you know, you grab it, hold it, and keep going with it.
And going to the World Cup, I mean, that is so exciting.
We had some tears at home that night. It was one of the great, exciting nights that I've ever had. We were watching it at home on TV, and it was just beautiful to look at. Gorgeous occasion.
What, you're just, you know, so excited for her and her friends?
The country. Like, so exciting for Ireland. It's a breakthrough. Success is going to engender growth, hopefully, if they put in the money and the resources that should have been put in over the last 50 years. And the talent that's coming up behind now is phenomenal.
Women's football in particular. They were crestfallen when they missed the Euros. This really made up for it.
I can't watch any normal match. I couldn't even watch the under-8s.
You can't watch her play?
No, sometimes I record it and then I watch it back.
When you know what the score is?
I know what the score is.
So you'll...
I'll go upstairs and if I hear a roar, I'll come down pretty quickly.
Right. Good to hear the younger generation, the next generation coming up through in the background there as well. You also went to meet the parents of Abby Larkin, Evelyn. She's just 18 and she was in secondary when she started playing for the national team.
Yeah, Abby described as one of the real rising stars of the Irish team, and she was in fifth year Cullum in secondary school when she made her debut at the age of 16 for the Republic of Ireland. It was a big story at the time because they had to get permission from her parents, who had to go to the school to get permission for her to travel to play. She turned 18 in April. She already has 6 caps for Ireland and she plays as a forward for Shamrock Rovers, and there's a really good buzz about her. She grew up in Ringsend. She's called the Ringsend Rover, and when I went to visit her parents in Ringsend to hear all about her, such is the support for her that even as I was making my way into them, I met 2 little girls outside who wanted to tell me how they're big, big fans of Abby Larkin's. So first you'll hear from those young fans, and then I get an exclusive tour of Abby's bedroom because Abby's proud parents, Ethan and Robert, showed me around her room. Abby doesn't know I was in her room, I don't think, but there you go. We went to look at the piles of the medals and the caps and all the trophies that line her room.
My name's Amelia and I'm 10 years old.
My name's Ellen and I'm 9 years old.
You know Abby Larkin.
She was my cousin. She plays for Ireland on a football team. I like that she's very famous and she's getting loads of support off people. She's brilliant at football. She's very good at scoring all the goals.
Would you watch all the matches if she was in them?
Yeah.
She's a very young player and she plays for Ireland and...
Give her a good luck message. What would you say to Abby?
Play well at the World Cup and we're all very proud of you.
Abby, I hope you play really good in the football match and I hope you score all the goals.
You're very welcome. Come and show what we have. Ladin's Cave.
This is her room, is it?
It's her room.
Do you charge in for the room?
No, it's all free for now.
Oh my goodness, look at the walls.
Yeah. This is a signed jersey from when she was captain of the under-17s. And there are all the flags of all the teams that she captained her team with.
That's the first hat-trick for Shelbourne against Pimount. The fastest ever hat-trick scored in 11 minutes.
And then look, so many medals. I'm actually going to do this.
From the time she could walk, she just wanted a ball at her feet.
Never played with doll prams at the age of 4 or 5. They were saying, my God, she's great on the ball. We were like, oh, yeah. That playing on a boys team against boys.
How did that go?
Well, a few of the boys weren't happy the way she was able to go past them and take the ball around them, and quite a flyer up the wing and nobody could catch her. And she took everything in her stride. Like, she wasn't big-headed about her and wanted to play, and that was it. Once she was playing, she was happy. From the time she was playing football, like, she always said, I'm going to play for Ireland.
So what age did she start playing for Ireland then?
She would have been 16 when she went to the Penta Cup in Spain. The second game, yes, she got the start. And we were sitting in the stands. We didn't know.
You didn't know? No. And you looked out and there she was.
Yeah, she was. And then we looked out here, she was coming out on the pitch.
So last year, you had to let her out of school to go play.
We needed to go to her school and ask, could she take time off? She was in fifth year, so they said, yeah, but they'd give her work to do.
This was to play for the Ireland women's team.
Yeah.
You had to get her out of school.
All right, from Ringsend, Rovers' original home, as far as I know. And now, it's clear the families are very excited about the potential World Cup action, but the next hurdle is inevitably brings potential disappointment to the final cut for the squad that's travelling.
Oh, I don't know if I'd like to be Vera Powell at the moment. There's a provisional squad of 31, but of course the rules state that manager Vera Powell has to cut that squad down to just 23 players for the World Cup. So the families are just focusing on that announcement. We're kind of expecting it towards the end of next week. And just if people want to show their support for the team, they are playing one more match on July the 6th against France in Tala. So go along there and shout and roar for them. So it's a tough one for the families, Cullum. They've had to make their plans to travel anyway. They've had to commit the flights, but they're still waiting to know if their actual beloved daughter is going to be part of the squad. So here both Louise Quinn's parents and Abby Larkin's parents, they describe the situation as they're waiting for that magic phone call.
Every match, doesn't matter where, Donegal, Sligo, we go.
Every match, get into the car and go.
We travel out for the day. The excitement of what she can do with the ball and our teammates and all that.
What do you think it's going to be like around here when the matches are on?
A lot of people are just all asking us every time, streets, is Abby going, is Abby going? We don't know. Nobody knows. Local priest, Father Ivan Thorne, she sees me. Is Abby going, yeah? Is Abby going, yeah? Yeah, you could pray for her down there, yeah.
A few of our friends here were saying, oh, if Abby got to go to the World Cup, we'll have flags all over.
Tell me about the World Cup. We know the squad hasn't been announced yet, but we're hopeful Abby will be part of the squad.
We're hoping. We're praying.
Where is her head at?
At the moment, it's not letting her affect her.
She's very calm about it.
Yeah, she's just waiting till she hears. She's still young enough. For her to get to the World Cup, it's a special trophy. Just to be on the squad to go there and say, well, I was there.
You have flights, but you don't know if she's playing yet.
No.
So you're just taking a deep breath and buying the
ticket. Deep breath.
Hopefully. Yeah. How do you find watching her play?
I reared my son. He's just gone 25 and I never had to stand by a football pitch. And then I had a little girl and I never off the side of a football pitch.
Louise says whenever she thinks of Amber Barrett, she texts her to say she loves her because she got the goal.
Because of what it's brought.
Because of what it brought, yeah. And they all are so determined to do well. Like, they're just like a family unit. They support each other.
And she's played there since she was 14, and it was her ambition to get there. So when she gets there, you know, you grab it, hold it, and keep going with it.
What does playing for Ireland mean to her?
Everything.
Really? Yeah. Still?
Yeah. Oh, still.
Do you have anybody in Australia who can go to the matches?
Oh, or? Yeah. Our daughter, Sinead, is out there.
So you're going?
Oh, yeah.
And how are you feeling about it?
Yeah, we booked. I suppose, where else would you be at this stage? You know, you'd be really proud of her.
But how do you feel about her watching this young woman on the international stage? It must be wonderful.
It's kind of normal now, like, since she was 14. So this is her life. Football is her life, playing for her country. I can't even think about it.
Can you not?
No.
God, you wouldn't envy parents or players in the lead up to that
the
announcement being made.
Can you imagine?
Thanks a million, Evelyn, and we'll be bringing you more of that excitement and probably the squad announcement too, and coverage in the build up to the Women's World Cup in the coming weeks. Now, still to come, as the US Coast Guard confirms a catastrophic implosion destroyed the Oceangate Titan submersible, we have the latest on recovery efforts. It's summer festival season, but are you sick of rowdy revelers and an ever present camera phone in your face? We'll be looking at good gig etiquette, and The Gathering will be here to debate all the big news stories of the week.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.